I'm just going to use the stand this morning, so it'll make it even easier. Actually, no, I don't want to strain myself lifting my own table, Kevin. That's what it is. No, I'm kidding. I was planning to just sit up here this morning and use this, grab my comfortable stool. Is that all right if I just grab a stool and just sit? I'm going to check with my visual people. Am I good? All right, these poor guys, they come, when they know I'm speaking, they come in. So are you going to do anything weird this morning? That's what I usually get now is, what are you going to do to us to mess things up? I love keeping people on their toes, right? It's good to have new things and different things and just switch things up a little bit. And for some of you who have been over the times where I've spoken, I've sat down, I've stood up, I've brought out visual things. I even started one morning up in the balcony. That really threw them off. And poor guys were going, I don't know if that's going to work. You know, so it's just good to keep them on their toes. But it's good to be here today. It's good to be here with each and every one of you. We've all had a journey to get here, haven't we? We've all had a journey through our week. Our weeks bring different things. Each and every week is slightly different for us. But just before we start, I just have something I need to finish here. So just bear with me just for a second. Yeah, okay. So now we got that set. So I practice what I preach. Now I'm going to preach what I practice so that you know what I'm practicing, what I'm preaching. This morning I wanted to talk about love letters. How many have ever written a love letter in your life? Come on, be honest, guys, be honest. It's okay to say that you've read it. And it could have been a long, you know, 3, 4, 10-page long note, or it could have been just a short little thing, right? But to write letters is a good thing. And so I wanted to talk about love letters, right? Because when we look at the Bible really is just one big long love letter, isn't it? Right? We know that through history, looking back in Genesis, we know that the first couple of chapters, everything was good. God created things. And by the third and fourth chapter, we blew it. And the rest of the book, the rest of the Bible is all books and chapters on how God is working to restore us. And with God, it started with love. And with God, it'll end with love. I thought it would be good to read 1 Corinthians 13. How many are familiar with 1 Corinthians 13 is probably one of the most commonly read passages in and out of the church. I mean, I do wedding ceremonies all over the place. I've done them in people's backyards, in their front yards. I've done them all over the place. And I quite often get asked by couples to read this because it doesn't seem over preachy. Doesn't seem over religious. It's just a chapter on love. And in it, Paul says this. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy, it does not boast. It's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. We can fail in love, we can fail to express love, but love can never be blamed, because love can only love. And it's our responsibility to get to that place of understanding what love is and allowing the depth of that love to come into our hearts so that we're loving with a pure love. For those of you who are with me, last week when I spoke, I used my visual aids and talked about the heart and how experiences can damage our heart. It can bruise our heart. It can leave scars in our hearts so that we don't always love with a pure love. But when we reflect on this, on one of God's love letters to us, it tells us it's not rude, not self-seeking, always perseveres, always trusts, always hopes, never fails. That's the confidence we have. And the confidence we have in God's love letter is we can go back in history from the very beginning and we can see that the truth has been qualified and it's been proven. Archaeologists try to do it. All kinds of atheists try to disprove it. All kinds of stuff has been attempted to prove or disprove it, but nothing has been disproven. God's word is true. And so therefore, looking into the future, we can trust that it's going to become true. We can trust that it's going to come to pass. We can trust that it's going to happen, just as he promised. So imagine if the writers of the Bible didn't pay attention to God. Imagine if they just said, oh yeah, sure, God, I'll write that down someday. Anybody ever done that, had that someday conversation? Yeah, I'll do that someday. I'll get around to that at some point. Could you imagine what the Bible would look like if the writers of Scripture just put it off, went and binge-watched a Netflix series rather than writing down Scripture, just hung out with their buddies at the bar rather than putting to pen these things that God asked them to? Or imagine what the Bible would look like today if it was penned today, right? Because would you agree that communication has kind of diminished, right? We shorten the things that we say. The things that we would have said in two or three pages, we can say in two or three words, two or three lines. We can say it with short forms, abbreviations, right? How many have gotten an email and somebody has said something, and at the end of it, they put LOL, right? Instead of saying, I'm laughing out loud, this is really funny, they just put LOL. Or something shocking, and they're conveying something shocking to you, and they just put OMG. Oh my goodness. Right? Everything's been abbreviated and shortened. It's even gotten to the point where we use emojis. If you're not familiar with emojis, emojis are those little smiley faces, those little icons that they put in text messages and in emails to express something. The problem is they leave it to you to understand that. They leave it to you to interpret what they're doing there, what they're saying. So if we had the Bible today, I would dare to suggest that it wouldn't be thousands, hundreds of pages. It could be just a few pages. And it'd just be abbreviations and emojis. Or an arrow pointing this way. You know, the end, the beginning, the end. It would just be a different book if it was written today. Everything is great because of timing. When Jesus stepped out of heaven and came to earth, it was the timing of it all that was just perfect. God aligned everything from the centuries before to allow him to step out and have the impact that he desired. Because again, we look at Scripture and it's a love letter to us. So my thought today was, what kind of love letters do we express? What would we write to God? What would we write to other people? I want to challenge us in our communication because I think it's an important thing to get back to. Oftentimes, we won't communicate because we don't know what to say. We're afraid of offending people. We're afraid that we'll be misunderstood. We're afraid that we can't get our words together correctly, so we don't want to say anything. So we just ignore the elephants in the room, and they just get bigger. Anybody notice that? Elephants in the room never go on diets until we address them. Once we address them, then we cut out what we're feeding them. Elephants in the room grow bigger when we don't deal with them. Until we put a name to it, we can't deal with it. But oftentimes we're afraid to communicate because we're afraid of being misunderstood. Or we're afraid to take a stand. We could be afraid to stand up for something and have others know what our convictions are. We're fearful of that. I know me, I'm a thinker. I love to think. I ponder. Whenever I'm in a meeting, I'm almost always the last person to say anything because I'll listen to what everybody else has to say. I'll put it together, I'll articulate it in my mind, and then I'll convey the message. The problem with that is I'm always trying to make it perfect and deliver it. Right? It's part of what I do as a speaker. I have to put things together. You don't want me up here fumbling through my notes and fumbling over my words, giving you the punchline before I tell you the joke. I mean, it's important that everything goes in sequence. But I think it's also equally as important that people understand our hearts. And we can change things. We can alter things a little bit. We can clarify things as we articulate them and share them. Rather than sitting back and just saying nothing, doing nothing, waiting. I know that for me, that's one of the things that I work on often, is my ability to communicate. One of my mentors that I worked with, he's a fantastic communicator. He's challenged me, I mean, almost to tears, he's challenged me. And he said to me once, he said, Jim, he said, the problem with communication is that you thought it just happened. And I thought about that. And it took me a while to really grasp what he was saying, but think about it. When you and I are articulating, we're communicating something, we're communicating it from our mind. It's a thought that we have in our mind, and we're communicating that. And we're communicating it from a place of understanding of knowledge in our own brain. We're communicating that. People on the other end may not be receiving it quite the same way. So we think we're communicating. We think we're describing it because we can see it clearly in our own mind. So we think we're telling them clearly. And we don't understand why they have a confused look on their face. To get to a place of really communicating, but communicating effectively, is a hard thing. And it's something that we need to practice. And so my challenge to us today is to get to a place of practicing communicating. Practicing communicating with God. And one of the first steps, I think, of communicating with God is communicating through gratitude. Just being grateful. As Paul says, we give thanks in all things. We don't give thanks for everything. We give thanks in all things. We find ways to be grateful to God in all things. I run three different companies. So when I get up in the mornings, my mind sometimes is already racing. I pull my mind back, and I always start, God, thank you that I opened my eyes this morning. Thank you that I could put my feet on the ground. All right? My eyes might not be as clear as they used to be. My feet might not be as strong as they used to be. They might ache a little bit when I put them on the floor. It might take me a little longer to get up out of bed. But Lord, I'm grateful that you've opened my eyes and given me another day. Starting with an attitude of gratitude will accelerate your altitude. If you're taking notes, that would be a good one to write down. Having an attitude of gratitude will accelerate your altitude. In other words, if we've got a good attitude, if our heart is right and we've got a good attitude, our altitude, we're going to rise, our position in life will rise because of that. Think about it. If you've got a poor attitude and you're not grateful for anything, what kind of day are you having? You're probably having a pretty stumbly day. But the minute we change that around and we find a way to be grateful, we shift our attitude, all of a sudden, things accelerate. Things lift up. So to go to a new altitude should be all of our ambitions, all of our intentions, right? To grow to a higher understanding of who we are, becoming the very best of who, you know, the best version of ourselves. Because as we become our very best, we cause others around us to become their best. We raise everybody's altitude with an attitude of gratitude. So starting that way is a good place to start. And starting that way with friends, with family, with people around you. Expressing how grateful you are that they're in your life. Don't just assume because you show up and you're around them that they get it. This is especially for men. Because we can be really bad at that. Right? We think that just being at home, being in the presence of the people that should know that we love them is enough. It's not enough. We need to express those things. We need to share those things. Oftentimes with dads and parents, we can correct kids. We're always instructing them. We're always giving them something to do. No, do this a little bit better. Do this a little bit differently. And that's all they hear. That's all they see. What if we got to the place of just expressing how grateful we are for who they are, for the gifts they have, for how they're refining? What if we did that with our spouses and partners? What if we did that with our neighbors and friends? What if we did that with each other around here? Get in that place of just not passing by them and smiling, but just stop and saying, you know, Kevin, I really appreciate all that you do at this church for serving the way that you serve. Ministry team, I'm grateful that you guys get up Sunday after Sunday, singing your hearts out, playing your hearts out, and leaving it all on and bringing us into a new level of understanding and connecting with God. Another one that you might want to write down is, become the person to others that you need for yourself. Become the person that you want others to be for you. And part of that is just having that attitude of gratitude, being grateful for who they are, expressing that to our friends, to our family, the people around us. The next one is grievances. It's okay to talk about things that maybe frustrate you or that you're a little upset with. God isn't put off if we say, God, you know, you see what's going on down here? This is really frustrating. What are you doing with this? What are you doing about that? There's so many things that we could think about. Bringing our grievances to God is different than grumbling, right? Grumbling and grievance is different. Grumbling is like murmuring, and that's what kept Israel in the desert for all those years. Right? They just kept going around that mountain, right? They just kept going around that mountain. Oh man, if we were back in Egypt, at least we had food, at least we had a place to sleep, at least we weren't being chased by people and killed by people. Right? They just murmured, they grumbled all the time. That's not acceptable. But sharing a grievance, sharing a concern, and just saying, God, I want to lift this up to you because I'm really concerned about this people group or this situation in my church or in my family, and bringing those, I guarantee that he's not going to part the earth and swallow you up. It's okay to bring those things to him. In fact, that's part of the love letter that he wants to hear from us. He wants to hear the things that are troubling our hearts. He wants to be able to speak into those things so that he can show us the next steps. Because there's more to it than just grumbling. More to it than just bringing our grievances. There's more to it. There's a song, a popular song on the Christian station, and it talks about, you know, being the hands and the feet, not just asking for the hands and the feet. Right? Not just asking God to do something, but being willing to get dirty, get into the trenches with people, begin to pray for them and encourage them. But sharing our grievances and bringing those up is a good thing. And offering our prayers as a gift, as a gesture for others, is a great place to be. We can lift people around us up just by praying for them. Did you know that? Just by praying for someone, we can lift them up. They won't even know what's hitting them, what's going on. We could just be praying up a storm and it could just be lifting them up. We could just offer them up as a gift. And we can do this at any age. No matter how young or how old, we can do it. In fact, we're called to do it. A couple of examples I think about in the New Testament. Simeon was one, older guy, probably in his 70s, 80s, maybe more. Daily went into the temple just praying, God, deliver your people. Set us free. Bring your redemption. Bring it. Every day he went in there, and he did this for years and years and years. And that's all he did every day was pray. And there was a widow that did the same thing. Until one day, they saw Mary and Joseph bring Jesus into the temple. And it's recorded that Simeon said, you can take me home now. I've seen the redemption. I've seen the Redeemer. He's here. I know he's alive. You've answered my prayers. You can take me home. Even in our old age, as we get gray and silver, we can still pray. What's the qualification to pray? Just having a heart for God. Having a heart like David did. Think of some of the letters that he wrote in the Psalms. They're just basically love letters, expressing how much he cared for God, how much he loved God. We look at Psalm 103. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, how he heals and restores and forgives. He's reminded of in Psalm 121. He says, where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, from the maker of the heavens and the earth. An attitude of gratitude, just turning his heart towards God, recognizing that every good and perfect gift comes from him, and offering back as a gift, saying, thank you. Offering it back as a gift. I think there's three things that we need to do. I gave you 3 points. I'm going to give you 3 more points. 3 more bonus points. How many want bonus points today? Come on, everybody's hand should be up. No, so here's 3 points. I think we need to make time, believe that what we say matters, and set a date to deliver it. And here's what I mean. If we don't make time to do something, it'll never happen. I have people say to me once in a while, I'll hear people, you know, they'll want to get together with me and they'll say, whenever you got spare time, and I stop them right there. I don't have spare time. None of us have spare time. We got 24 hours in every day. We have to make the time to do the things that we want to do. You make time to eat. You make time to watch Netflix. You make time to go to Grand Cafe to get the best coffee in town. Just a simple little plug, sorry. But we make time for the things that are important to us? What if we started making time to make these love letters, to create these love letters, to write these letters of encouragement to people? But making time is an important thing to do. Setting it an intention in our calendars, in our daily routine, to do those things. The next one is to believe that our words matter. The words that we say matter. Right? I encouraged the worship team just a couple minutes ago. I encouraged Kevin a couple minutes ago. For most of us, those were just words. But for Kevin, it was received differently. For the worship team, it was received differently. Right? Because it impacted them. It mattered to their hearts. It mattered what I said to them. Because I spoke to them directly. So we can say things generically, but we can say things specifically that will lift people up. And as believers, that's what we need to do. But we need to understand that our words matter. Think back of words that were spoken to you over the years. Things that people said that hurt, maybe stung. They mattered what they said because they affected us in some way. Always begin and end with love. If we begin a conversation with love and we end that conversation with love, what we say in the middle can be accepted that way. And the next thing is making a time to deliver it. Because if we don't set a date, if we don't set a time, anybody ever found someday on a calendar? Anybody find one day on the calendar? Right? Those don't exist. So to be intentional and set a date is really important. When I was a younger man, I worked at a company. And there was a man in this department that I just really liked. He was an older guy. I was in my early 20s. He was probably in his, you know, mid to late 50s. And I just loved going into that department because his face would just light up when he saw you, and he was always happy to see you and engaging. He had great conversations and great little quips and quotes. Anybody got a person like that? You know, you just love to see him. You just love to go into the room where you know they are. And that's the way it was with George. Until it wasn't. One day I walked into the department and he wasn't there. I asked around and found out that he had been admitted to hospital. And I knew he was sick, I knew he was getting some tests, but I didn't know that he was hospitalized. And so when I learned that, I said, I gotta go see George. So I went home, I bought a card that night, I filled it out and put it in an envelope and said, okay, I gotta go see George. One day went by. 2 days went by, 3 days, now a week, now almost 2 weeks. I went into the department and noticed that George still wasn't there. And I asked, and they said, well, he was supposed to be discharged from hospital, but they kept him in a little bit longer. I said, I gotta go see George. One more day went by, 2 more days went by. Finally, I just said, that's it, I gotta go see George, and I went to the hospital. I went to go see George. I already knew the hospital room because I had asked about that at the beginning when I first filled out the card weeks ahead of time. So I walked into the room at the hospital. It was one of those rooms that had like 4 beds. I don't know what they call it, the not-so-private room. Ward. So I walked in there, and there's 4 people laying in beds, and I'm going, okay, that's not him, that's not him. That kind of looks like him. That might be him. He's kind of got his face, but it looks a little bit bigger. I don't know if that's him. I didn't want to go wake him, so I went to the nurse's station. And I said to the nurse, I said, I'm looking for George. He was supposed to be in this room. She said, oh. And he looked on the list. She said, oh, he's not here. I said, oh, did he get discharged? He went home. Are you moving to another room? She looked again at the list, and she said, no, he's passed. All that good intention of going to see George. That nice note that I wrote in the card, sitting there. I went home really discouraged and really upset that I didn't get to see George. And I kept that card on the top drawer at home in my dresser. I kept it there for years, faced up with George's name on it as a reminder to stop putting things off. So don't trust one day to express and pray and share and be grateful to God. Don't put off one day, I'll tell my wife how much I care about her. I've been married for 41 years. I got a text this morning, praying for you, have a wonderful morning. She's away with a girlfriend for a weekend. 41 years later, I still appreciate those words. Same woman, 41 years later, I still appreciate those words. Who in your life do you need to share a letter of encouragement, a love letter with, a note of encouragement? How are you going to do that? And most importantly, when? When are you going to do that? Because we know that if we leave it to someday, it's never going to happen. I told you I want to practice what I preach. And I told you what I preached. So I'm just going to share this note with these two. That's how simple it is. Taking a small note, writing a handful of words, could change everything in their life or encourage them for a day. We have no idea. I want to encourage us to get back to the place of sharing those love letters, those love moments with God. And equally as important, with one another. Don't take for granted the people that are sitting beside you. Don't take for granted the people that are surrounding you. Because it's all well and good until it's like my friend George, and it's not. As the worship team comes up, I just want to pray for us. Father, we thank you so much. I really believe that even now, you are placing people on our minds, on our hearts. And Lord, we want to be obedient to what you're calling us to do. We want to be obedient to sharing that word of encouragement. It could be with someone that's been in our lives for years. And we want to take the time each day to express our gratitude to you. We may be going through some horrific things, but for your grace, it would be a whole lot worse. Lord, we're grateful for the things that have happened in our lives. And we're equally as grateful for the things that didn't happen. We're thankful, Lord, that the outcome of some situations weren't as bad or as pale as they could have been. Teach us to be a people with a grateful heart and to begin to express that to those around us that we love and care for. And we just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. And as we continue our worship, please grab the offering plates and you can begin to pass them amongst yourselves as well while they take us into worship again.
Please stand with us.